Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In 1996, students at the University of Virginia organized the first day of silence in response to a class assignment on nonviolent protest with over 150 students participating in this inaugural event. In 1997, just the year after, organizers took their effort nationally and nearly 100 colleges and universities participated. In 2001, GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, under the leadership of Kevin Jennings, became the official organizational sponsor for the event. According to GLSEN, the Day of Silence can logistically be organized in any school, public or private, middle school, high school, or college. Now, I found it interesting that this is from an April 2001 AFA Journal article by Ed Battagliano. He says, quote, obviously, quote unquote, homophobic, parents will not invite homosexuals into their homes to instruct their children that gay is okay. Where then can these activists obtain access to children in large numbers, away from the watchful eyes of their parents? The public school system has become the answer, unquote. My guest today will help us understand what this is and steps that parents can take to find out if their school is participating and what they can do if the school is, in fact, participating. So my guest today is Laurie Higgins. She has been the cultural analyst since the fall of 2008. And prior to working for Illinois Family Institute, she worked full-time for 8 years in Deerfield High School's Writing Center in Deerfield, Illinois. Thanks, Laurie, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me.
And I'm sure that your experience 8 years in a public high school, you could tell all sorts of stories from just that experience there.
Well, yes, and working in the Writing Center, I got to see, I was a member of the English department, but I got to see writing assignments from other areas too, from even, you know, social studies, even sometimes science classes. But what I saw was in curricula, there was just no diversity of opinion. Students would be presented with plays, novels, essays. They would have speakers invited. Films would be shown in class, all that espouse one perspective on homosexuality. And there was a de facto censorship of any resources written by scholars on this issue. And if you talk to teachers about this, it's pretty consistent. Liberal teachers who are teaching these texts, they'll say, oh my gosh, I allow kids to voice dissenting opinions, which may be true, but they don't allow students to have their views informed or challenged by resources written by conservative scholars. So they'll bring in, say, the Laramie Project to their classroom, and students will study that for 2 or 3 weeks.
And that's about Matthew Shepard, right? The death of Matthew Shepard? Okay.
Exactly. But they don't bring in any resources that dissent from that. In fact, we had a teacher at Deerfield High School who was teaching Laramie Project, and I suggested using the 2020 interview by Elizabeth Vargas, in which they challenged the idea that this was a gay hate crime. And they wouldn't even bring that in from a secular resource. So, and I actually went to our school library database and searched, you know, for the topic homosexuality, sexual orientation, lesbian, gay. I found about 75 resources, 10 of which were used for debate, so they would have both sides within one text. They're sort of specialized.
Right.
But on the rest of the 65 that were in the either the library collection, which might include some videos, were all written from a liberal perspective. Not a single resource written from a conservative perspective.
So they don't get two sides of the story then?
No, they don't. Students don't. They're free to dissent if they have the courage to.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm sure, though, that those English departments or history departments or whatever are using the book that was written by the homosexual. Can't think of the name of the book. Recently released, I think just last year.
I don't remember the title either.
Yeah, that he's interviewed all these people in Wyoming, and his conclusion as a quote-unquote gay man is that what was what the 2020 interview back in 2000, whatever year it was, what the 2020 interview exposed then was, in fact, the truth, that the attack and the beating of Matthew Shepard was not a hate crime.
Right. Horrible crime, nonetheless.
Absolutely, a horrible crime. There's no doubt about that. No one should ever be attacked like that. But
it was drug-related, and the young man who beat him up had been on methamphetamines for 3 days, and
right.
he beat someone else up,
right.
and this was a drug deal gone
right.
bad.
Right.
And in fact, there's strong evidence that the young man who beat him up had actually had some sexual encounter with Matthew Shepard. So I wonder how many high schools that teach Laramie Project are now going to at least share that information, whether they believe it or not, to share that information with students, which really gets to the larger picture of, in public education, if there are any resources or activities that touch on issues related to homosexuality, they will only be liberal in perspective.
Yeah, because that's the agenda. I mean, that's the whole concept. Is anyone who opposes or who thinks negatively about homosexuality is homophobic and hateful towards those. And in fact, the Day of Silence organizers, of course, again, with Glisson at the helm, claim that a Day of Silence is needed because of Glisson's National School Climate Survey. Specifically, Glisson's 2009 National School Climate Survey that found 9 out of 10 LGBT students report verbal, sexual, or physical harassment at school, and more than 30% report missing at least a day of school in the past month out of fear for their personal safety. Now, the school you're at was in the Chicago area. Did you witness any type of bullying of students who identified as homosexual?
I've never witnessed any bullying of students. This is a pretty affluent, well-educated community.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have problems with bullying. I don't doubt that some students are called names or perhaps in some school district treated poorly,
mm-hmm.
maybe physical harassment due to the affirmation of their homosexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
Schools should address bullying
Absolutely.
Of all kinds.
Of all. Yeah.
But what's not exposed in this about the Day of Silence is what the left seeks to do is to curb bullying by normalizing homosexuality. What their ultimate goal is to normalize homosexuality. This is just a means to an end. So they seek to end bullying by eradicating conservative moral beliefs or making it socially and politically impossible to express them. So you can address bullying of students for any and all reason through school policy, and you don't have to mention any condition.
Exactly.
And that makes it a much more inclusive policy.
Right. Yeah, all students should feel safe and be provided a safe learning environment in the public school.
It's important to note that often within the public school system, the way they use the word safe doesn't mean what conventionally it means. It doesn't mean the absence of name-calling and the absence of physical harassment. It actually means also feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So students, because they'll always say the reason they can't bring in conservative resources, even something by, say, an essay by Robert George, the Princeton law professor,
right.
is if students who identify as homosexual read anything that suggests that same-sex activity is not moral, it will make them feel, and now I'm using my quote fingers, unsafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't apply that principle consistently.
Right.
They don't argue that if conservative students who, let's say, out of their religious beliefs, believe homosexual acts are not moral, and they bring in resources and activities that imply their religious beliefs are wrong and hateful, or their moral beliefs are wrong and hateful, and those students feel uncomfortable. No one actually worries about that, so they don't apply their principle of safety consistently.
Right. It just proof that they want their side of the story told, and they don't mind making conservative students uncomfortable, because their hope is that conservative student will be so uncomfortable that they will, quote-unquote, see the error of their ways
right.
and turn to, I will call it the dark side.
We had a couple of teachers in our district teaching the incredibly obscene pro-homosexual, pro-transgender play,
mm-hmm.
Angels in America.
Mm. And this is a play.
It's a play, right.
Okay.
And they were teaching it in English classes.
Okay.
In
mm-hmm.
fact, they even got, one of the teachers got Tony Kushner, the playwright, on the phone to have a phone conference
mm-hmm.
with all the students in the class. But when this blew up into a big public furor, this teacher wrote a letter to our local press saying, it's the job of English teachers to challenge the morals and emotions of students. Well, my response is it really? Is that what we hire English teachers to do?
I thought the job of English teachers was to teach about nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives, how to write a proper sentence, how to write a proper essay and a proper research paper. I didn't know they did
right.
that.
Right, and to study literature.
Well,
but,
yeah, right.
But he doesn't apply that consistently. He never argues that it's the task of English teachers to challenge the morals and mm-hmm. feelings of, say, self-identified gay students or liberal
yeah.
students. It's only ever directed at conservative students.
So they're consistently just providing one side of the story, and they don't care if they make conservative students uncomfortable. So
not even a little bit. They don't. They liberal teachers, who are the only ones doing this, conservative teachers in schools, are not trying to challenge the emotions and morals. Maybe challenge the ideas of students. I mean, we present ideas to look at other ideas,
right.
and maybe there's some feelings. But the truth is, in English classes, over the course of 4 years in high school, you're going to read what, you know, let's say 24, 32 books and plays. You can easily construct a curricula over the course of 4 years that is challenging to even the brightest students, that doesn't get into highly controversial ideas
oh, yeah, sure.
that may offend parents and may even make students feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They can do it. The progressive, I'm using my quote
yeah.
fingers here, progressive teachers have the goal of being agents of change,
mm-hmm.
of coming into public schools and changing the politics and beliefs of other people's children to align with their own.
Yeah, that is the whole goal, that's for sure. It'd be interesting to see how Common Core will impact the English department and the books that they currently have the kids read, such as just you're saying Angels of America and such as that. But I know Common Core will also be, that'll be on the approved reading list, plus more, even more terrible books such as that. But, okay, so we have the Day of Silence has been around, and especially in public high schools, since 2001, when GLSEN took control of the event. And we know how very adamant that Kevin Jennings was into getting the pro-homosexual message into the public school system. Of course, GLSEN saying we have to do this because students who identify as homosexual or quote-unquote gay students are feeling uncomfortable and they are being bullied, blah, 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 though we know that's not the fact. In fact, there's a July 2012 report that was funded by the World Health Organization's Department of Violence and Injury Prevention and Disability, and it found that children with disabilities are at about four times the risk of becoming victims of violence compared with children who don't have disabilities. And of course, we also know that overweight kids are more likely to be bullied. Of course, we all know GLSEN's off target, but like you're saying, anti-bullying message should be that all students should feel safe and that no one should be bullied in school. But again, of course, that's not GLSEN's goal, as you have said. Now, how is, you know, we have this Day of Silence has become very much entrenched within the public school system. This year it's going to be on April 11th. How is it organized?
Well, technically, it's organized by students, and the central feature of the day is that students refuse to speak for the entire day, which means, and this is the really problematic part, including class time, instructional time. And anyone who's been in public schools recently in the past probably two decades knows that direct instruction, that is to say lecturing, is a methodology of the past. And virtually all classes, even including math classes, involve student activities and student participation. And so to come into class and refuse to speak is disruptive.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, it's important to note that teachers have no legal right to refuse to speak in class. Students have no legal right to refuse to speak if they're called on by a teacher or there's an expectation that they give a speech or participate in a debate or another activity. This is not something that schools have to allow.
Mm-hmm.
They do have to allow something related to Day of Silence. If other clubs are allowed to put up, for instance, posters and
right.
distribute material, then the Day of Silence
they
kids
have to
have
that opportunity.
But
yeah.
But in terms of coming into the classroom and refusing, there's no right. And administrators should start saying, you know what, kids can refuse to speak in the
mm-hmm.
halls during
right.
passing period or their lunch period.
Lunchtime.
They
right.
cannot refuse to speak. And that message should go out to teachers and to parents. So
yeah.
they know that.
Yeah. And actually, GLSEN has finally admitted that, and they have a ACLU letter that is sent to schools, you know, in support of the Day of Silence. But I think it's Lambda Legal that GLSEN points kids to if they think they've been prohibited from participating in the Day of Silence as they feel. But I found that...
Well, Lambda League and ACLU have both confirmed that students do not have a right to refuse to speak if the teacher expects them to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah. listen encourages them to, quote, talk to your teachers ahead of time, tell them what you plan to do, and ask them if it would be okay for you to communicate on that day in writing, unquote. So GLSEN has the guidelines for the student-led activity to go as GLSEN hopes it will go, and that the teachers will be, shall we say, willing to allow the child to participate in the day of silence by being silent. But you mentioned, I think, a little bit ago, are there some schools where the teachers themselves remain silent?
Yes, there are teachers. I mean, we had an article in the Chicago Tribune a few years ago about a teacher. It depicted him, I think it was in the Tribune, writing on the board because he had told his students that he doesn't speak on that day. So parents need to contact their schools, and this is in middle schools now, too, because I've had parents say this doesn't take place in their schools, and then they check with their kids and found out oh, yes, it does.
Oh, yeah, I know how that works, yeah.
And they need to contact the principal of their school and ask the principal a very specific question, which is, are students allowed to refuse to speak in class on Day of Silence? Some parents have asked the question, is the school participating in or sponsoring the Day of Silence? And technically it's students who,
student-led,
who sponsor it. So administrators have gotten around by saying, oh, no, we don't sponsor that. And they didn't tell the parents that, yes, it's taking place, and, yes, teachers are allowing students to refuse to speak. One important thing about this day that a lot of people don't know, that I learned when I was working at Deerfield High School, is many teachers, conservative teachers, dislike it. And many even liberal teachers didn't like it because it required them to create assignments that would work with student refusal to speak. And there are teachers, there are liberal teachers actually, who just, they're politically liberal, but they just want to keep their subject area. That's right, and they don't want to get involved in politics. And their students, conservative students, don't like it, and even some liberal students don't like it because it was just disruptive. And, you know, in high school it's really interesting. Kids do what adults can't do. You will have kids. My daughter had friends or acquaintances, my kids, I should say, who identified as homosexual. They knew that my kids were conservative. My kids knew what their perspective was. But they got along, and they were in activities together, and they socialized, and they liked each other. They just didn't get into the topic. And so that puts everyone, makes everyone uncomfortable on that day because it's drawing attention to this, the most controversial topic, I would argue, more controversial even than abortion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that it's the adults who are putting the wedge between those kids who otherwise get along. But it's the adults at GLSEN and the ACLU and Lambda Legal who are pushing this agenda and creating the divisions among kids who normally would get along. And so that's a perfect example of how this is so... so much just part of their agenda to normalize homosexuality, and even though kids are, you know, get along on a daily basis, this one day causes that disruption. So it's also interesting that
and what
liberal
parents should do,
teachers also object to it.
Yes, and what? Well, they don't like it.
Well,
they don't go to their administration and object to it because this is so difficult. You know, this is one of the problems with the day. The community that I was working in, when I was working in Deerfield High School, I lived in Deerfield, so I was both a parent and an employee. And I would hear parents say, on issues related to homosexuality, not Day of Silence, well, I'm afraid that if I take this issue up, my it's going to redound negatively to my child. The teachers were saying, well, I don't want to address this because I'm a fear of personal and professional repercussions, so parents need to do it. And the reality is, everybody needs to do it. Like, no one, you know, as a Christian... We're not guaranteed that acting boldly, courageously for truth is going to be cost-free. So whether you're a parent, and actually, I was going to say, whether you're a parent or an
just
teacher,
a
you need
and,
to address
and, a
tax, it.
And really a taxpayer, too, because it's a taxpayer-funded
that's
day
right.
That's taking place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we encourage parents to do is to contact the school, ask if teachers are going to be allowing students to refuse to speak during instructional time. And if the administration says yes, they will be allowed to refuse to speak, we're asking people to keep their kids home. And the reason is that school administrations do not respond to the beliefs of conservative parents on issues related to homosexuality. The only thing they respond to, there's three things I would argue. A huge public outcry. So if you can get 40, 50, 60, 100 people to go to a school board meeting and express their views, they may respond to that. If they get bad press, particularly national bad press, which you won't get on this issue,
right.
And if there's a loss of funds. And every child that is called out of schools costs schools money. They lose anywhere between $40 and $80 a day per student absence.
Wow.
And so this can hit them in the pocketbook. And even if your child is the only one called out of school on that day, at least they've been spared the experience of political activism
right.
in their classroom.
Right, absolutely. It was a good idea to have many parents go to a school board meeting or even show up at your principal's office and the school board meeting, because if an individual parent goes, the first word out of the school board,
I can guess what you're going to
say.
They're going to say,
you're the only one who's complaining.
Yes. Yours is the first complaint or the only complaint.
Yeah.
I actually think that they're taught that in graduate school.
Oh, probably.
Because it's so common.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, our superintendent, whose name is George Fornero, District 113, he actually told, there was a big public meeting about Angels in America, and I met three different mothers that I didn't know before the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them said that they were told by George Fornero
uh-huh.
that theirs was the first complaint
he
received.
Yeah. All three of them were told that.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
funny how, and they weren't together when they talked to him.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So parents should call their school and ask, are students allowed to remain silent during the day of silence?
Yes.
And if
are they allowed to refuse to speak in class during the day of silence?
Okay, in class.
Right, because no one cares if they're silent during passing periods.
In fact, they hope they are. In fact, the teachers hope they are. So if parent finds out, the students will be allowed to remain silent during instructional time on April 11th, which is a day of silence this year. Usually, well, it may vary from school to school, but
it's pretty consistently.
Right.
It's on Friday.
Right.
Because they do have some concluding festivities called the Night of Noise.
Oh, they've changed that. Okay.
Okay.
Breaking the Silence used to be Breaking the Silence, but they may have changed that. Okay.
You know what? I haven't followed up this year on what they're doing, but
either.
That's why they've planned it on a Friday. And also, we do recommend that parents, if they're going to keep their child home, that they send an email my daughter was there, I sent it to the department chairs,
mm-hmm.
all the other administrators,
mm-hmm.
and the school board members, explaining why I was keeping her out. And there is a day of silence. We call it a walkout.
Right.
It's not a walkout. You don't go to school and walk out, but that was the
just
term.
Just don't show up. Right.
Yes. We have a website. It's doswalkout.net. And you can get also through it through Illinois Family Institute.
Actually, I have
And
it.
We have information there. Commonly asked questions and reasons for parents to keep the kids home, and a letter.
A sample letter, yeah. That's
yes,
right,
the parents can just download the letter and use it. They don't even have to write it themselves.
Yeah, yes, it is doswalkout.net. And I do encourage parents to make that phone call, see if the school will permit students to remain silent during instructional time during the day of silence on April 11th. That's the official day. Sometimes that's another day, but it'll be around that date anyway. But April 11th is officially the day of silence according to the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. If you find out your school will allow students to remain silent during instructional time, then go to the doswalkout.net website, get the letter, send it to your school, letting them know why your child's not going to be coming to school that day. Plus, send the emails, as Laurie's saying, to basically everyone involved with the normal day that your student would be having otherwise.
Also, they can see on the Day of Silence Walkout website, this is a coalition of organizations,
mm-hmm,
national
right.
coalition. We have organizations, Concerned Women for America, American Family Association, Liberty Council, some smaller organizations, the Coalition of African American
right,
Pastors joined this year.
Yeah, it was great to see them sign on.
Yes. The organizations that are sponsoring this walkout go from California to Massachusetts. I mean, we've got
all across the country then.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Fantastic.
And parents should know this is the only counter effort we have, and
mm-hmm.
parents have no awareness of how many days there are and activities and events and celebrations, Ally Week, Spirit Day, LGBT
History Month. Yeah.
Exactly. And some schools in very, very liberal communities concludes with Day of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have activities every day.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, no. And so we need to say we will at least take a stand on one event, is the big one.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, that is for sure the big one. DOSWalkout.net is for the Day of Silence, specifically for the Day of Silence Walkout Coalition. And FAQ, you have a letter that parents can print and send to the school if they find that their school is allowing students to remain silent during instructional time. I encourage parents to check into this, check that website out, and how can folks contact the Illinois Family Institute if they want to contact you or whatever?
They can go to our website, which is illinoisfamily.org. Illinois Family is all spelled out, and there's Contact Us
somewhere
on the website. And, you know, I would really encourage people to think about this.
You
know, what the left tries to say, and they've said it specifically about me, that if you curb their efforts to end bullying, their particular efforts, that you endorse bullying.
That's
it's not true. There's multiple ways to address the issue of bullying, not just Glisson's way of doing
That's
it.
That's for sure. It's just another example of their name-calling and trying to
paint
those who oppose their agenda as hateful and bullies.
They know, the left knows, that it's easier to transform the views of 16-year-olds than 26-year-olds, and it's easier still to get 6-year-olds. So, people, if you don't stop this now, it is coming to your elementary school.
Oh, yeah. It's already headed that way as it is.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Lori, so much for being with us and heading up or kind of organizing this whole Day of Silence walkout. I appreciate that, you guys there at the Illinois Family Institute, for your efforts to, again, as you're saying, this is the only national effort to counter the gay agenda in the schools, period.
Right.
So we really appreciate it. So illinoisfamily.org is the Illinois Family Institute's website, and doswalkout.net for the Day of Silence Walkout.
Thanks so much, Shannon.
Hey, thanks. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.